Welcome to the first episode of Flynn's Arcade, hosted by me, James Flynn. With this podcast, I hope to provide you with my own opinions and game reviews on everything related to video games. And to start this all off, we're going to be talking today about Guacamelee. Now, for me, I love Super Metroid. That's one of my favorite games of all time on the Super Nintendo. And that's the game that popularized the concept of Metroidvania. Of course, later the Castlevania series Symphony of the Night also cemented the concept of 2D exploring, where an entire map will be revealed to you in two dimensions, and if you go from one area and you'll find that you can't get anywhere else in that area until you get some sort of item that's backtracked later on in somewhere in the map. Now, with that in mind, Guacamelee does that very well. Now, the sequence breaking, I can't find if there's any sequence breaking in this game. There might be people out there that have played the game and have found ways to get around areas, because that's what Super Metroid was all about, was that the programmers designed the game primarily with, they found ways around it, where you didn't have to get a certain item to get to areas that needed that item to get to. You could just super bomb your way up. Now, with Guacamelee, I'm sure that there might be some place to sequence break in it, but outside of that, I haven't found that yet. But you take the basic concept of a Metroidvania game, and you make it all about 2D brawling. And of course, the game's name actually makes sense now, but the game is all about luchador Mexican wrestling and rescuing the El Presidente's daughter from this character called Carlos Calaca. Who's this evil skeleton that's taken over the devil's realm and basically is trying to make the world of the dead merge with the world of the living. And also, with that in mind, using the El Presidente's daughter to make this whole ritual and make it all actually happen. Of course, though, standing in the way is Juan, humble farmer and a friend of the Presidente's daughter. He attempts to get Carlos, ends up dying, and of course now he has the ability, later you gain the ability to jump through the dead and the living world. But in the beginning, you can only go through portals, but you become the masked wrestler that is just referred to as a luchador until people find out later it's actually Juan. But you gain a secondary partner, which shows up in any time someone wants to play second player, called Tostada. And I guess she's a citizen of the dead world or something, but she only shows up in the beginning when you gain your ability to become a luchador, and after that, it's really only when the second player wants to join in. And this playing two player in the game is all right. It's just that if New Super Mario Bros. Wii has taught us anything, it's that the single player experience is enough. Two players is fine, but sometimes, in the case of the game's various vertical platforming sections, not as fun. It could kind of get very aggravating. Of course, though, they have, like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, they give you the ability to send the second player into a bubble that you can get them out of the bubble at the appropriate time. So that kind of helps in certain situations where maybe the single player is all you would need to do. But when it comes to the battling mechanics, it does help to have a secondary partner out there punching and throwing the enemies. And that's the thing, that's what makes the game what it is that it's a Metroidvania-type game, but with more emphasis on melee attacks. And of course, being a luchador, it's all about high-flying, suplexing, and when you gain your special abilities, particularly out of the Chuzu statues, which are designed exactly like the Chozo statues from Super Metroid. I mean, the game is so far into the Metroid style of gameplay that it's just, the whole game is just a homage, really. And it's a lot of times blatant. But with the moves you get out of the Chuzu statues, you get headbutts, an uppercut, a dash punch, and a slam, which are also used to enter into certain colored block areas. And as the game goes on, both those mechanics of switching from living world to dead world and your particularly colored special moves come into play when you actually fight enemies later on that are shielded from your attacks unless you at first attack them with the properly colored attack. And then if sometimes you have to switch between light and dark world, so it kind of becomes like the game Ikaruga or even a Legacy of Kain, a Soul Reaver. And from that, that's what makes the game a little bit more difficult and not as much of a cakewalk as you would initially think. Now, the game autosaves at all times. Every time you pass by one of the skull-headed, or just it's just a skull, one of the skull shopkeepers, the game automatically saves, which is great, but if you wanted to have, if you have a friend that wanted to start a new game on your system, that would overwrite everything in the game. They don't have a, like Super Metroid or others, a kind of three save slot system in this game. It's all auto-save to just oversave, just save over exactly whatever anyone else was doing. But outside of that, getting back to the melee stuff, yeah, with two players, it makes it a hell of a lot fun to play where you're throwing the enemies to the other person, they throw it back to you, you uppercut them. It's very intricate when you get into it, and there's an area in the game where you can actually practice those types of combos to get better at the game when you get into the later boss battles. The game was nominated in the Independent Games Festival for excellent in visual art, and it's pretty much easy to see why, because this game is immensely colorful. It is so beautiful to look at on a high-definition monitor. In the game, in certain areas, it'll zoom out for certain platforming elements, and it'll zoom in when you're in certain houses and whatnot, and you can see the detail in the animation during cutscenes, and it's just so colorful. It feels like you're eating at one of the best Mexican restaurants, where everything is just splashes of green, red, yellow, and there's piñatas everywhere. It's amazing. Complementing the graphics, of course, are the sound and the music itself, which is heavily based on traditional Latin guitar and mariachi-type trumpets, as well as 8-bit chiptune-type intermingles between those two. And it really helps the game, where it shows where, you know, it shows this particular flavor of the game, as well as, you know, what they're trying to homage with old-style video game music. But it also gets you pretty pumped up during certain battle sequences in the game. As I said before, the game isn't as easy as you would think, but the game is very generous. There's no lives you have to worry about. Of course, though, wherever you last saved or wherever you were at during a particular arena battle that happens in the game, where the game locks you into a place and you have to battle a certain amount of enemies to get out of it, if you die in that situation, you put back the space before where you can go back and try again and continue on until you win the game. So it's easy in that sense, but it's easy to get frustrated during certain platforming and during certain boss battles if you're just not feeling right and you just are not getting the kind of controls that they're asking, because it can get pretty complex when it becomes switching from dead to living world, as well as using your abilities to get to one single platform that if you miss, you got to go through the whole thing again. But it's generous on allowing you to continue not too far from where you left off. But if you were to, you know, pile through the whole thing, it's a pretty short game. It's about 7-8 hours on average. It's not that bad for the price that you're paying for it, which is $14.99. But with that, you also get the PlayStation 3 and the Vita version, so you're allowed to cross-play between the two, which is great. And this shows the kind of forethought that Sony is putting into this cross-play design when it comes to independent game designers, such as the creator of Retro City Rampage and the newly released Terraria for the PlayStation 3. So they're really pushing towards more independent game developers to be on their system during the spring break 2013 that they're doing. And I really hope that people really enjoy Guacamelee for what it is, because it's a small game, but it's a fun game. That's pretty much what it's about. And if you, once you beat the game, there's a hard mode, which, you know, for the people that really like a challenge, it's definitely up for them. But for me, Guacamelee was a nice little surprise that shows, you know, that anyone can come in and make a great game, and you don't have to have a huge budget for it. So for Guacamelee, I give you a 4 out of 5.